And we are live here on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter per usual. What's up, guys? Nick here on the P2W Fantasy Podcast on December 15th with my guy, Kevin. Kevin, I did some weird like clap thing before we went live. I'm just so pumped up for the show here. We're into the fantasy football playoffs. So every stream have the emphasis playing to win, getting ready, trying to bring home some ships. Kevin, how are we doing as far as your leagues go for the year? You in a couple playoffs here?
I'm in every playoff. I didn't lose. Yeah, no, I did well. I was 50-50 in my dynasty leagues and stuff. And then I whooped your ass twice. So, and I made the playoffs in that league.
I whooped my own ass in that league, though, to be honest.
So I did okay. Yeah, no, for sure. And then I won my big, I won the 36-team college football one, a C2C one I have. So that one was a lot of fun.
How does that work? I don't even know what that is.
So we have this giant kind of industry league. So it's a C2C. So basically it's campus to Canton. So you have an NFL team and a college team. It's 36 teams. So basically you have to win your conference championship. We have bowl games. It's like the NCAA football game from back in the day. And you have like real recruiting. You have in-home visits and all this stuff. It's a crazy league. It takes way too much of my time. And it has everybody in there. Ray, you know, all Debbie Dietz, all those guys that are big Debbie guys. So I ended up winning my conference championship. I went 11-1. And then I won the national title against the two other opponents who won the conference championship. So it's kind of a bragging rights league. So I'm going to have that on my wall at some point.
It's going to be on the resume. Like, this resume is what I did in this league. Yeah. Listen to my podcast. Yeah. 10 out of 15 for me. I screwed myself in the one that we're both in because I was out too late trying to be young and hip for my wife's birthday. Got up the next day. I'm a wreck. And I think I just completely skipped over setting a lineup for that league. So probably could have been 11, maybe could have been 11. Doesn't matter. But what we got going on today, we got the fantasy playoffs. What Kevin and I are going to do, we're going to do a fantasy draft for the playoffs. We're going to go through a lineup. We're going to go back and forth and make our picks for who we want in this fantasy football lineup. And then I think we're going to compare it at the end just to see who can get some additional bragging rights. Before we get into anything, as always, this podcast is partnered up with the Fantasy Points Media Group. Go check out the website, regardless if you are still playing. If you're in a dynasty league, it's very useful as well. If you just want to stay up to date with fantasy football or football in general, they have articles, projections, rankings, advanced stats, whatever you're looking for, it's on fantasypoints.com. Go check that out and use my promo code 21WIN10 for a discount on their already discount that they have on that website. If you are just tuning in, Kevin and I are going to run through a fantasy football draft for the playoffs. One by one, it's going to be a good show. Stick with us. To win, no fear to give. I feel what I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip. They don't understand. I play to win. Yeah, I play to win. I play to win. Yeah, yeah, play to win. I play to win. Oh, play to win. I play to win. Yeah, yeah, play to win. I play to win. All right, so I have a draft board and everything here for us because I'm just like super good with graphics and video editing and all this stuff, as you can tell. This is a tab on my browser here, but it'll work. I can type into it. Super advanced stuff. So what we're going to do is go through each of our picks here for a fantasy football draft. And this is for weeks 15, 16, and 17, how these players end up doing. We'll tally up the points at some point and compare whose team did better. We cannot pick the same players. Kevin, I asked you earlier, I'm like, can we pick the same guy? You said absolutely not. I think you might have muted yourself.
You know,
there we go. I got you. I think maybe I muted you by.
It's been a rough night. I think it'd be a lot of fun if we did it this way. That way we could just see like, hey, you know, who's better in terms of picking these playoff guys down the stretch and then just having some fun. Pick the same guy is not as fun. Everything's got to be a competition. Play to win.
Always play to win. Play to win, as we always say here. All right, Kevin. We'll start things off. So we got on our board here, and if you're listening to this on the podcast and you can't see the screen, you can catch it on YouTube, or I'll just lay it out for you here. We have a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, and then a flex being a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. Kevin, I'll give you the honors first, man. Any position, who's your guy that you are picking, and why are you picking him for the fantasy playoffs?
All right. This is PPR, right? Just want to make sure.
PPR always. Okay. I don't play that other stuff. So
I know. Neither do I, because it's outdated and elitist. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. I'm taking my boy JT. That's kind of – I know he's got a tougher matchup against New England, but he finishes with Arizona and Las Vegas. And I think that when you're looking at what he's been able to do, accomplish this year, running back one, dynasty running back one, I think that that's the guy you want on your roster.
I think that's – Pretty straightforward pick. This guy has scored in every single game since week three. Week three was the last time he didn't score a touchdown, and then he just went crazy and scored on every single team.
Yeah.
And a lot of us get worried about matchups all the time, and I distinctly remember people worried about the Buffalo matchup. And what did this guy do to Buffalo? He destroyed them.
Yeah.
Destroyed them.
Four touchdowns. And I do think you're going to see the volume. Volume is king, and he's healthy. He just came off a bye. And they're competing for a playoff spot. So they're going to ride him. And I think if you have him right now, you're excited. I know last week he had a bye, so it kind of killed some people like it did for me in the SFB. But I still think, hey, he can hit this. Even if he scores a touchdown, 80 yards, you'd be good against New England. And then open up those doors against Las Vegas, baby, because they're going to run it down their throats in 2 weeks.
Here's a crazy Jonathan Taylor stat. I don't know if this kind of doesn't make him look bad, but – if you had a guess, maybe you already know, if you had a guess, any sort of range, how many red zone attempts he's had this season, what do you think the range would be somewhere?
It's probably not great because our boy hates him, Frank Reich. 25?
No, so it's the opposite of what you thought. He has 73 red zone attempts.
Oh, he has that many attempts this year?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Man, maybe I just hate watch it.
The second most is not even close to that. I don't have that stat up, but 73. That he would have 60 touchdowns or something at this point. But yeah, I think he might have sniped me. I definitely would have taken Jonathan Taylor as well. I'm gonna go with a guy who a lot of people might have sat out last week because they didn't know what his workload was gonna be like, and then they got fooled. Because he carried the ball 27 times for 205 rushing yards and two touchdowns. I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook for my pick. And the schedule isn't the easiest. Bears, Rams, Packers against running backs are not the best teams. But what we know are two things. One is that he is a very, very important piece of the team, and he's going to get a shit ton of volume. That's just known, and that's a given for Dalvin Cook. Another thing, the Vikings are really – pushing to get in the playoffs. So really trying to make that run to get that final spot to get into the playoffs for the wild card, I believe. Dalvin Cook, with the volume and with what we saw last week, it was a must-win game for the Vikings, and they did nothing but pound the rock with Dalvin Cook. 50% of his games this season have been above 20 fantasy points, and the rest under it are not bad either. So I think you can count on some good volume. And I think you can count on some more 20-point-plus games for Dalvin Cook down the stretch here.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great, and especially with that where – and, hey, they're competing for a spot too. So I do think when you realistically look at what Dalvin does, you have to get it. And I think this just shows you that you need running backs, right? Like, and this is the hard part about where we're at right now because a lot of guys don't have it. And I think there's a pretty clear tier break between some of these guys that we're going to be talking about soon. Especially at that running back position because so many injured and even the COVID concerns and everything else going on right now around the league, you got to be very careful with this. But I think Dalvin and Taylor are about as safe as you can get.
Absolutely. And just guaranteed volume and very, very important to their teams and both teams that want to do well and extend their season beyond the regular season. So we'll turn it back to you here. Who's your second pick? Any player?
This one's tough because I really contemplated going wide receiver, but I'm going to go Alvin Kamara. So going a little different on this one, you know, we saw him rush 27 times, 120 yards. He had a touchdown. He had four or five targets against the Jets, and obviously it's against the Jets, but I still think they're going to use him in this way. They're still competing because Sean Payton's a maniac. I know they got Tampa, but Tampa's not the greatest, especially against Spence runners right now. I think he's had a great matchup there. Miami, Carolina, those are two games that I think he'll play. I think he plays till week 17 at least, and I just think that he's going to get that volume, especially in PPR. And if you look at it, what he did last week, he had 24 points in PPR format. So give me Kamara.
And the good sign, too, from that last game, I mean, he missed several weeks, and then he came back in and he carried the ball 27 times for 120 rushing yards. And I know that's been a knock on him in the past is, you know, he's not typically a guy who has, you know, well over 1,000 yards rushing every season. You know, he's a big PPR guy with the pass catching. But seeing two games now exactly on that dot, 120 rushing yards, I think that's a good sign. And also four catches, that was a big question mark, too. Hey, when Taysom Hill is in there, what's it going to look like for his pass catching? Have you changed your mindset for that, or are you still a little skeptical on his upside there?
I think it'd be okay, but if he's rushing the ball like he's been able to do, I think that's kind of the it kind of levels that out for me. I still think they're going to get him involved. They have no weapons on that team, so they have to kind of get Kamara in there. So if you're looking at six targets, four or five catches, and then if you can get that 100 yards, I mean, you're looking at 20 points, and that's kind of what you need.
And looking ahead, you said Tampa, Miami, Carolina. Yeah. I think all three of those games, you're going to guarantee that he touched his ball a ton. Taysom Hill, on a side note, I might have to say I was wrong last week about doubting him at all. He had that mallet finger going on, and then he still goes off. It was against the Jets, but it's kind of interesting to see how he had a similar injury, maybe not as bad as Russell Wilson's, but still pretty effective. Is that a guy you have some confidence streaming for the quarterback position? Not that we're picking this guy in our draft here, but was that a good sign, you think, last week, just seeing his production?
Yeah, I think it was, right? And I think that when you're looking at from that perspective, especially from the streaming position right now in quarterbacks, with Baker going out, these other guys, some of these guys are just going to have to line in there and just hope that he gets those productions the last 3 weeks. And you're not really looking for anything else. Hey, can he get me 20 points?
Absolutely. All right. I'm up. And
where are you going here? You going wide receiver?
You know what? I'm gonna go the easy call, and a guy that I completely whiffed on this season. I'm gonna have to go with the wide receiver one right now. Number one in targets, receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, all those categories, which is insane to me. Had more games above 10 targets this season than below. He had 8 games above 10 targets. He only had 1 game below 10 targets. And it was 9 targets. I mean, the volume for Cooper Kupp has been unbelievable. 5 games above 30 fantasy points. He's a cheat code this season. He really is. And I put out a graphic today on Twitter, and it was the top 3 most targeted guys in the league. It was him, Tyreek Hill, and Deontay Johnson. And then I had the graph showing on a weekly basis what their targets were. So if they had 15, it was high. If they had 4, it was low. And the thing about Cooper Kupp was that if you look across the board, consistency was key. Every single week, the volume was there. He had some really nice targeted games, but there was never like this significant dip at any time. And, you know, we saw games with Tyreek Hill. It might have dipped to like 4 at one point, but then he would have 15. Same with Deontay Johnson. He was pretty consistent as well. But then you'd have some lower targeted games mixed in too. I think Cooper Kupp was the most consistent out of that bunch there. We got our guy D Brown in the chat. What is up? Cooper Kupp. That's my pick.
Yeah, I think Josh Larkey tweeted this out a couple of days ago. I saw this where his floor was week 4, which is 11.4 PPR. And after that, he's had 1 game in that range, 15 to 20 PPR points. He's had 2 games, 20 to 25. He's had 4 games in that range, 25 to 30. He's had 1 game in there, 30 to 35. He's had 3 games at 30 or 35 more PPR points. And in 35 to 40, he's actually had 2 games in that mindset. I mean, he's been absolutely phenomenal. The reason why I didn't go Kupp though is I am a little worried about the COVID stuff going on with the Rams. You know, OBJ is out. I don't think OBJ is vaccinated. I almost can guarantee you.
OBJ I keep is seeing weird things because some, you know, and it's weird because you'll have some random guy, you know, with a, I don't know, with like a Michael Jordan, you know, Abby say this, he's like, listen, all the Rams are vaccinated. And then you have another guy and, you know, says something like, you know, oh no, I think Steffi said something to me where she's like, didn't you see the joke he made before about COVID?
Yeah,
which pretty much was hinting that he wasn't vaccinated. So I've seen a lot of back and forths. I don't know. I'm not into that room like I should be, I guess, for the Rams facility.
I don't know. When he said like COVID can't touch me, just makes me a little nervous. That just makes me a little nervous too. But I think, yeah, he's been phenomenal this year. I thought you were going to snipe me because I probably would have moved on and skipped Kupp too. My next guy's going to be wide receiver. I'm going Devontae Adams.
He was on my list, man. Yeah. He was on my list.
Well, I'm sure he's pretty damn good. I'm going to take him against Chicago. 10 receptions, 13 targets, 21 yards, 2 touchdowns. And when you look at him from a PPR perspective, you know, he had 34 points last week. These two guys are kind of in there, and obviously Justin Jefferson's up there too, but consistent targets. And you look at his last few games, he already has 128 targets. He's got 90 catches. You know, realistically, you know, he could see 10 targets again. He's got Baltimore, who's kind of reeling right now. Cleveland, who has like everybody's injured or has something going on there, Minnesota, and that's always a game that they like to win. And they're competing for the one seed. So they're going to be out there and they're going to have this area in there. They're tied right now. They're first, I believe, in the NFC. So there's a lot of signs pointing to Davante Adams being kind of that league winner as well. And we always forget about him, but I mean, he's clearly wide receiver 3 right now, and he's a wide receiver 2, probably right behind Kupp. So I'll take him to add to this team.
Davante Adams, the difference between him and Kupp, there's obviously a target difference. The big one this season has been touchdowns. Yeah. I think he's got 7 on the year. Kind of a little bit uncharacteristic of Davante Adams, because historically he's been one of the, if not the most red zone targeted players in the league almost on a consistent basis. Hasn't really been the case, but I feel like if he had a similar touchdown count to Cooper Kupp, they'd be neck and neck. Guy's unbelievable. In my opinion, and we can have a whole show about this too, but in my opinion, I think he's the best wide receiver in the league, because I think that he checks every box that the guys that you like check. Maybe he's not as, you know, explosive vertically as a Tyreek Hill, but I think every single wide receiver box to be checked is Davante Adams. And he's catching stride. You just said they're fighting for that one seed. It's very evident the last couple games. He's had 3 games in a row now above 100 receiving yards. So yeah. Each of these games, he's getting targeted a shit ton. He's getting the receiving yards. His floor might not be as safe as Kupp's has been, but I think knowing that everything's been pretty consistent lately, I'm about it. He's had 4 games above 30 fantasy points this season. I said Kupp had 5. So again, they're neck and neck in that, yeah, that category there. So big, big fan of Davante Adams. My next pick, you know what we mentioned? This is going to be maybe a bit of a surprise, but I just love what this guy's done lately. And I mean, I don't want you to grab him for your flex play potentially, so I'm going to get my second running back here. We mentioned him before the podcast. You asked me what he was ranked, and I told you, I was like, damn, I don't want to get sniped on this, but this might be a surprise, but I'm going to take Leonard Fournette down the stretch. And the reason being, this might be a little bit of a reach here. It might be a little bit of a reach because there's a lot of good players I could have took here. Plus the schedule, New Orleans, Carolina, and the Jets. He has 2 tougher matchups. But that last matchup, championship week against the Jets, giving up the most fantasy points per game to the running back position, is juicy. Since the bye weeks 10 through 14, he has been the running back 2. He's currently the running back 4 on the year. But since the bye, he's been the running back 2, second best running back in the league. His last couple of games here, 44.1, 22.2, 23.2 as well. Really safe floor, which I think you want for the running back position. Over 20 touches the last 3 games in a row. He's tied for the second most red zone rushing attempts too. Why is that a big perk? Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are always in the red zone. They are every single game a lot, and he's getting a lot of touches there. So I think the state of the offense, knowing that they don't depend on Leonard Fournette to win them games the same way that the Colts depend on Jonathan Taylor to win them games, I think having that benefit of a dual threat offense really makes him thrive. So I reached, I did, but I'm taking Lenny Fournette, Lombardi Lenny, down the stretch.
Lombardi Lenny. Yes. Our boy Lombardi Lenny. That's a reach, I think, a little bit. But, hey, if he runs with what he's doing, you can't argue it, right? And especially they put up points. And that defense, the game scripts are going to be for putting up points. And so I don't hate it. I think that's actually not a bad pick there. And it helps me because I get to pick this next guy, and I'm excited.
All right. I know you're going for the quarterback position right away.
You think I'm going for the quarterback
position? No, I don't. I don't at all.
Yeah. I'm going to go with my boy Justin Jefferson. So all I'm right. taking Jefferson.
You mentioned him earlier. I think that was like your goose egg hint, so I should have just jumped on it.
Yeah. I would have just taken. Well, actually, no, I don't know. I just think Thielen's injury is interesting. So, like, when you're looking at Thielen right now, I know they got some good news today. I was reading an article today about where he's at. is making progress. He could return this week against Chicago, but even then, even when Thielen is there, Jefferson's the wide receiver two right now. And if you look at his targets consistently, he has 127 already, so he has more than Davante Adams. You've seen it from reception-wise, 85. He scores touchdowns, and it's been nice to see he's had four touchdowns the last four games. His PPR points, when you're looking at his production the last four games, he's at 37. Or even five games. He had 22 in week 10. He had 37 week 11, 13 in week 12 wasn't great. And then he bounced back with 35 and 20. So give me him, especially down the stretch. They're still competing as well. Chicago, you know, that's a pretty good matchup. I'm sorry, Nick. And then
really tough team.
And I think it helps too, because if he plays the Rams, he's going to have Thielen back by then probably. And so if that's the case, then they can't just shadow Justin. It's going to kind of open him up. And then you got Green Bay. And if Cook's running the way he's running, I think that opens up everything because you've seen what they do with play action, everything there. So give me Jefferson here, and I love to pair him with Adams.
I like it. And recently the volume's been insane back-to-back weeks, which you expect with Thielen out of the mix. But 29 targets in the last two games, I mean, that's unbelievable. That to me means that every other play they're running is a target to Justin Jefferson, it seems. Yeah. I'm with it. I'm with that 100%. They're thinking Thielen has a chance to be back. Is that what you mentioned?
That's what I read this morning. So they said that he looks good and he's possibly back. I question that. They might rush him back though, because they need to win. So you're looking at like maybe they do put him back out there, which in my opinion doesn't really hurt him. It doesn't really hurt Jefferson. I guess it could vulture a touchdown, but I still think Jefferson can put up wide receiver one numbers.
No, I think it helps, especially like you said with the Rams matchup. I think it actually helps because his volume is not going to change. It's going to hurt KJ Osborne and, you know, maybe Conklin. If Conklin, you know, actually has some consistency, he completely burned people before. But I'm with that. I'm kind of juggling here. All right. I'm going to stack my Tampa Bay or not Tampa Bay. Sorry. The Chiefs. Never mind. I'm tripping here. I'm going to go Tyreek Hill. I was looking at Mike Evans for some reason. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. Tyreek Hill is going to be my pick. Second most targets for the wide receiver position. He's wide receiver four in the year. He had a slower last 2 weeks, and we know that. So as Travis Kelce, Mahomes has been a little up and down. But the reason I want Tyreek Hill is because he can win you a matchup. And a lot of these guys on this list can do that too. But a good example is week four, 47.6 fantasy points. He did the same last year. He had like a 50-point outing. And that can't single-handedly win you a matchup. But when you have a lineup and a couple guys just hit their projections or they're a little bit under, and then you have a guy like Tyreek Hill who can go for 30 to 40 fantasy points on any given day, I want him. Eight games with 10-plus targets. We talk about these guys in the league all the time, like MVS and Donovan Peoples-Jones, that they just need that one big play and then they can be, you know, relevant for a flex play. Well, that's Tyreek Hill, but with 10 targets. So, I mean, it's different. It's different to me. So Chargers, Steelers, and Bengals, I don't think these are games that they can depend on their defense and their running backs winning them the games. I think they're going to air it out in these games. So I'm going to go Tyreek Hill on this.
No, I think that's a good call. I like that. It's just he's so boom or bust, but you will see that he'll kind of – he always plays well towards it down the stretch, and he had those games where you see those targets there. And, hey, the one thing is Kelsey's not taking those targets. Kelsey's been bad. Like, he is not like,
really good. Bad, yeah.
This would be the first year that he does not finish as a top tight end in 5 years, and Andrews is ahead of him. So when you're looking at that perspective of where he's at, I think that helps Hill too, okay, down the stretch. I think – that offense has not looked amazing. So I do think there's that, but I understand that.
I'm surprised. So let's talk about Patrick Mahomes just briefly. And, you know, if that's your quarterback pick, that's your quarterback pick.
It's not.
No. All right. Fair. It's not mine either. But I was talking about, I was writing about Justin Fields, surprise, surprise, for a Bears article. And just talking about how the last, and I'm not trying to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but I was just saying that it's been nice that the last three full games for Justin Fields have been pretty consistent as far as fantasy goes. He's been scoring like 18 to 25 in those three games. And I'm not comparing them at all, but looking at Patrick Mahomes the last couple games, here's his last four, starting from 10 to 14. 36.24, excellent. 7.5, terrible. 12.56 for Patrick Mahomes, terrible. And then 20.32, expected. You know, he's been really up and down for fantasy, and it's trickled down to Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I think there's part of that, you know, that cover two defense that they're running against him, except for the Raiders, because, you know, the Raiders are just the Raiders. They just kind of – they just do everything opposite.
Oh, they're going to say they're excellent. But all
right. Yeah, they're the Raiders. And so when you're looking at kind of that perspective there, I think it does – it's hurt that offense in a hole. But you know what really hurt that offense is they don't have a clear wide receiver too. Like Pringle, Josh Gordon, Hardman, those guys are not it. So I think that does hurt a little bit. Hill has been overshadowed with that cover two. They don't have a stretch guy. They don't have a possession receiver. So they've never really had one. And that's why I was really hoping they got Bateman. I thought that Bateman would be a good pick there because that would give him that possession guy going there. And they're leaning on CEH too. And CEH is having a strong couple games here. So, you know, even the noted CEH hater as I am, you know, you got to give him credit for what he's been doing down the stretch.
Who's the you're the Debbie guy. Who's their rookie? Wasn't it Powell? Is that right?
Yeah.
What's the deal with him? Isn't he a possession guy?
No, he's not good.
All right.
He was never good. You got to have a good wide receiver. And I wanted to be Bateman or those guys in there.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad that you cannot flex a third pass catching option that's not a running back, let's say, in your fantasy lineups for the Chiefs. Something that's been surprising the last 2 years, I guess. Who's your next pick? I think you are on the clock here.
Yeah, you know, this one's tough for me. I was trying to filibuster there for a second. You know, I'm gonna draft my flex here, and I'm gonna take Najee Harris.
I like it.
So I'm gonna go a little bit on a limb here with Najee. I know he hasn't had the greatest games the last few weeks. You know, even last week though, I mean, against Minnesota, he still saw him score a touchdown. He had 94 yards rushing. He's not very efficient, so I know that, but he also had a receiving touchdown. And so they're going to get him involved. He's going to see the targets, as we know, in the receiving game. He already has 75 targets and 237 carries. So volume, volume, volume. He's going to get volume. So I'll take him here in the flex because I think he's the best option in that area, and especially with the running back for volume.
Speaking of volume, so he had that weird game in week 12 where he only had 11 touches total. And then week 13, 26, week 14, 23. So back-to-back weeks, that's the Najee Harris that we know. And we can go back to week 8, 26 carries, but also three catches. And if we look at the top guys in the league, I don't think many are getting that sort of consistent volume. I mean, everybody's going to have their down week, but you can count on that. And you can knock the offensive line, you can knock Big Ben, but when a guy is going to get four catches and run the ball 25 times, good things are going to happen. So I do like that. Najee, I'm going to throw this out there too. This is a curveball. I saw people saying on Twitter, of course, you see all these things on Twitter all the time. Najee is a dynasty sell because we don't know what the quarterback is going to be like and how they're going to improve their team. I have a strong opinion on this. Do you have any opinion for that for dynasty leagues?
You know, in my opinion, and I've been saying this for the last year or so, you know, you can go check it. I've always said Najee is going to be he was a sell after either this year or next year. Like you only keep him for these 2 years. Because I think with his age, with his volume that he has, I think he can be an inefficient runner at times. If you could get somebody else for Najee, I think that's kind of where he is. And I like his value where it's at right now, because there's some guys that you can go out and grab with him. You know, for example, I saw him go from a super flex league for a first and Deshaun Watson. If you're rebuilding, I don't hate that, because now you're going to get Deshaun, who I don't know what's happening with Deshaun, but you get a first back and maybe you get another running back and kind of fill it in there. So like, to me, I don't mind selling him, but you better sell high. Yeah. And just know that there is a possibility that he turns into, I don't want to say Derrick Henry, but there's a possibility that we talk about this guy for the next 4 years. We're like, oh shit, why did we sell him after the first year? So there's some risk. There's some risk to it, but I don't hate it because I do think he's older. He's had a lot of volume. And there are some question marks about that offensive line. There's some question marks about Big Ben. But let's be real. If they get someone else at quarterback, it's going to be probably an upgrade. Like, there's not a lot of guys out there that will go from Big Ben to, oh, that's downgrade, unless they go get, like, Drew Locke. Like, they're going to go get somebody probably. So I don't hate it. I just think you have to sell pretty high. But I would definitely try to sell next year.
Yeah, I personally think if it changes your team to set you up to win championships, then
Yeah,
sure. Trade him for that. I just like a rookie in his first year being RB1. You know that I look down the list of guys that applies to Saquon, who's had injuries before, Zeke, Todd Gurley had a good stretch of years. Like those guys for like 3-4 years were pretty solid for the most part. So I get both sides of it. But I also think that the quarterback situation can improve and the offensive line can improve. And it might go to what you said of, hey, like, why did I ever sell this guy for a first round in a iffy running back or something like that? So
yeah, make sure you're getting like something. Like you got to get something back. Like you got to go get a real asset back. But to me, you know, those questions always make me laugh too, because whenever I see on Twitter, everybody's a sell high. Like sure. everybody is. Like, and that's why I stopped doing those articles, because they were driving me crazy. Because it really just depends on the league you're in. It's hard to say what is
roster.
Yeah, I mean, so it's so hard, but I agree. Like, if you can get Najee, I have one Najee Harris, and it's from a C2C league because I drafted him for college last year. And I'm making the playoffs, and I think we're the 3 seed. It's a team that I co-own with, and we're going to ride him out because we're the 3 seed, and we'll ride it, and then we'll see over the offseason what happens. And our biggest plan, as we already talked about it, is we're probably going to move him over the offseason for, you know, try to get maybe one of these guys coming in, Spiller, some of these guys, and get some assets.
Yeah, it just all depends on your roster and your team. Christian McCaffrey, before this season, I dealt him for Jonathan Taylor and the 102, which I turned into Najee or Pitts. So it was like, what did I get for him? I looked down the road and it made sense. But to get back on track here, I'm gonna jump to my tight end position, because I had two guys and the one guy you mentioned, and it made me feel a little bit iffy on him just because of the ups and downs and not looking like himself. But I'm going to go George Kittle just because he has been red hot, absolutely on fire. And I'm going to be honest, I've never been a big George Kittle truther. I was never that guy that said, like, he's the dynasty tight end one when everybody else was trying to say that. And you just got to look at the numbers lately and looking at the last two games. I know it's only two games, but he's healthy and he's thriving right now. 39.6 and 34.1 in his last two games. That, again, when we talk about like matchup winners, when your tight end slot is scoring nearly 40 points 2 weeks in a row, that is helping out you to get a W on a weekly basis. Everybody else can only hit their projections, and you probably should win that matchup. But in these two games, 12 and 15 targets, 181 and 151 receiving yards, 16 plus fantasy points 5 times this year. Right now, he's the hottest tight end. Mark Andrews, love Mark Andrews. He's the tight end one right now. He's doing great. I question, you know, what's going on in the quarterback room. Is Lamar Jackson going to play this week? Is he not going to play this week? I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Kelsey, we see the ups and downs. And then we go down the list, and I draw these question marks. But for George Kittle, he just seems like the clear cut, this is the guy I want right now. So I'm gonna jump, and instead of filling any other position, go and grab George Kittle.
Are you worried about that injury?
I know nothing about an injury. All I know is he's been going crazy. So what injury? Is he banged up?
Yeah, he's a little banged up. You want to repick? Because I'm worried now that I don't want to. He's got he has an MCL kind of strain. So it seems like he's going to play, but he's got an MCL strain from the game.
Yeah, I'm reading right now. Will be held out of Wednesday's practice with knee soreness. They said MCL sprain.
Well, my boy Jeff from DLF, I can't ever remember his last name. I always say it wrong. He came out and thinks it's a MCL sprain. That's what he came out today. Jeff Mueller.
You know what?
I didn't have to tell you this, but I'm your friend, so I do want to give you a chance. You don't have to though. You can roll.
You know what? I just went on this big ass rant about him, so I'll just keep it. And if I get burned, I get burned.
All right. Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that. What's the thing? Some leagues do where they have a you put the name in parentheses. I'll stick with it for now, but that's something to monitor. So if you're listening to this and you have George Kittle, keep your eye on it. And if you don't have a second tight end for the fantasy playoffs, because some league benches are small, like I'm in a keeper league right now, I only got 5 guys on the bench. I'm not rostering a second tight end. So if you are, you need to be aware of that. But I'll take the L if he is out.
All right. So, you know, I just wanted everybody to be on the record. I wasn't trying to screw my boy over. I let him know that I saw it today. So I just
So hyped up about that, too.
Just trying to be nice out here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go wide receiver again. I'm going to fill my last wide receiver here. I'm going to take Stephon Diggs.
My boy. My boy, before you go on, all I got to say about Diggs is I consider us friends because on Thanksgiving, I was wearing his jersey and I tweeted out like my wife and my daughter got all dressed up and I'm wearing a Stephon Diggs jersey and he liked it. So I consider us good friends now.
They're all out here. They're all out here liking our stuff. I tweeted about Isaiah Spiller because I like Isaiah Spiller coming out of college and his footwork coach found me and then his dad found me and his dad DM'd me and said, I appreciate you shouting out my son. So that was cool.
That's something else.
Better than like, hey, dumbass, you know, like stuff like that. I usually get, I got someone to say, hey, dumbass, how'd you get a check mark? So I was like, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So
you said our conversations would stay in the DM. So I don't want them coming out.
My bad. All right. Yeah. But for me, it's Diggs. I know that he's having like I wouldn't say a down year. He's looked okay. I think that offense has struggled a little bit. He did have against the Jets, He had 30 fantasy points of PPR. He had 18, 20. He had 9-14 against Tampa, but he had 13 targets against Tampa. And realistically, he probably scored his coach. He should have scored a touchdown that game. So you're looking at the targets. He's going to be the target leader. He's got Carolina, New England, and Atlanta. And so I just look at that Atlanta and Carolina matchup, even New England. I know that against New England before, he still had 7 targets and 51 yards. I know that was his downfall, but I do think he can bounce back in that game as long as Allen's healthy. And from all reports, I know his foot's there, but it seems like he's okay. Give me Diggs and PPR. Just hope I get the targets.
I'm a huge fan of Stephon Diggs, and I really like that things are looking upward for him because he started off the season, and I think he was like top 10 for most of his I think before the bye, he was like a top 10 guy. But seeing some of the bigger weeks, week 10, 30.2, 18.3, 20.4 after that, targets are there. Connection with Allen is there. I think he's a guy that is going to be leaned on more and more and more as we get closer to the playoffs. So I'm all about Stephon Diggs. And do you think so he's wide receiver 10 on the year, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that is disappointing by any means? I had him as my wide receiver 1, to be honest, in preseason.
Oh, yeah, as wide receiver 1.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. So what I think is wide receiver 10 is what he really is. I know last year he kind of overperformed, I think, but he was a value because I think I got him in the 6th round of the league last year.
So going into
this year, you're like, hey, that's great. And then you look at him right now. So I looked on Fantasy Points his ADP. In the offseason. So Stephon Diggs is wide receiver 3. He was getting drafted as. So if you look at his ADP, then yeah, realistically, I think that's a mistake. But you got to also remember Ridley was going 5, DK Metcalf was going 6, AJ Brown was going 8, Terry McLaurin was going 10. So he's at least gave you a wide receiver 1 numbers, you know, consistently, especially towards the end of the season. So I would just say it's mildly probably a concern, but at least you didn't draft Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley, or DK Metcalf.
There's going to be somebody that listens to that saying, I drafted all those guys. Talk about it. I'm looking at your board, and you have a QB and a tight end left. So I already took my tight end, so I am going to take my QB, even though I have the wide receiver left. And I'm going to go with a guy who's been red hot right now. He might be an MVP candidate. I don't know. Some people say he is. Some people say he's not. But I'm going to go with Justin Herbert right now, who's been absolutely red hot. He plays Kansas City this week, right? Who he scored last time 30.84 again. So he had a good week last time they played this season. Then he plays the Texans, who give up the 3rd most points per game to the quarterback position. Then he plays Denver, which is a tougher matchup, but he scored 19.72 last time they played. QB3 on the year, QB1 weeks 11 through 14. He's averaged 27 during this last 3-week span. 3 out of 4 of his last games, he's had 3 touchdowns exactly. So he is gunning for touchdowns almost every game now as of late. 7 games above 300 passing yards. He can use his legs. We saw the big day against Pittsburgh. He had 90 rushing yards, which is not usual for him. But he does get enough work on the ground to bump his fantasy weeks. But just seeing that the yardage is there, He's throwing for multi-touchdowns every single week right now. I'm going with Justin Herbert, and I know there's a lot of other guys in the league that present a lot of upside as well, but just seeing what he's done lately and how hot he's been, he was great last game without Keenan Allen. I mean, now he's getting Keenan Allen back. So I'm with Justin Herbert right here.
That's interesting. I thought you'd maybe go a little different direction here. I like it, though. I think you're right. He's got a huge game tomorrow, and we'll see. That'll tell us a lot, right? It's going to tell us a lot about this pick, especially because I think he could do well tomorrow. You know, did you think of Kyler at all?
I did not. Okay. I don't know if it was because I'm not going to say his value is at all, because it's not dependent on DeAndre Hopkins, who's now out for the rest of the fantasy season. I'm not saying it's, you know, dependent on that, because he's missed plenty of time. I just think it limits him it limits some things a little bit. But I'm a fan, obviously, of what he's done, and he's been really good this season. He's been banged up and he's come back, but I just feel like Herbert right now for me is the hottest quarterback right now.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Murray was like, he looked banged up, his ankle, his foot, everything was there. I agree on that. I just was interested. Konami, right? Everybody talks about Konami.
My second guy is a big Konami guy, but I don't know what his injury status is, so I'm just going to leave him be.
I would be honest, I'm staying away from all the injury guys right now. So if you haven't noticed.
George Kittle. Sorry. excuse my explicit language that I label these podcasts that way. But now I'm like overthinking George Kittle. It's good, though. It's good.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to my tight end real quick. I'll save my QB for last. It doesn't matter. Mark Andrews. I'm taking Mark. I just think tight end one. And even though, you know, Lamar's kind of iffy right now, you saw him still get 11 targets. He was 11 for 11 last game. 11 reception, 11 targets, 115 yards and a touchdown. They still look at him, and I think he can be that safety, that outlet. We've seen it before. The dude's putting up just numbers. And, you know, realistically, of his last six games, he's put up over 15 fantasy points in four of those. And so he's been very consistent. He's only been under 10 three times this year. Or four times, excuse me, and he's just been consistent. So I still think the tight end position sucks. I almost took Gronkowski here, to be honest with you.
That was my other pick that I wrote. I mean, I wrote down Mark Andrews, Gronkowski, and Kittle.
Yeah, so that was my guy. I almost took Gronk, but with all the weapons and Godwin getting like what I think he's gotten 25 targets the last two games, something like that. Evans and those guys, and especially with your guy, you know, Lombardi Lenny. I didn't want to stay away from that. Give me Andrews, who's consistent and probably going to get those targets.
I'm with that too. And the big question mark was, you know, this Huntley guy, what's it going to be like when he's at quarterback? And the good thing you mentioned, I think 11 targets last game, caught every single one of them. I mean, very efficient. He's been extremely reliable. And I think a huge part of the Ravens game plan is Mark Andrews. So I think that's a really good pick. I'm going to go to my, wide receiver position, and maybe another surprise, maybe not, but I'm a huge fan of this guy, and I'm a huge fan of the volume, everything. I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson, and a lot of people will question, well, Deontay Johnson maybe doesn't have the highest of ceilings in comparison to some other, you know, Tyreek Hills and Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp. Third most targets on the year. He's wide receiver 8 right now. Weeks 8 through 14 after the bye, he's been the wide receiver 3. So during that span, wide receiver 3, he plays the Titans, who give up the second most points per game to the wide receiver position, and then the Chiefs and the Browns, who probably should be some pretty good games. So I expect him to see a ton of targets. Week 13 versus Baltimore, he showed his ceiling. He had 30.5 fantasy points. So he can have that sort of day, but 10 games with 10 plus targets, 5 games with 13 targets and 1 game with 14 targets. I mean, the volume is insane for Deontay Johnson. And to be honest, he's not like a Jameson Crowder or like another guy that comes to mind, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who like gets 12 targets, but, you know, doesn't go anywhere. Like he extends the field a bit. And I really like what he's doing right now. So I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson. I think he is very dependable and very safe.
Hey, man, he's I love Deontay. I've been a Deontay guy. He was my wide receiver 12 in dynasty formats this year, and that was in January. Like, he was someone that I'm really high on. And, you know, I'm kind of a truther of Deontay. I think he's a stud, man. And I love watching him play. He can create separation. He can – God, if he had a quarterback – gosh, if he just had someone that could get him the ball, I think that he'd be, you know, that can stretch the field for him. I think that's going to open him up a little bit. I really want Sam Howell to go to the Steelers. That's kind of my spot for him because the howitzer he has of an arm. But no, I agree. I agree with you there. I love Deontay. Deontay is one of those guys that, like, you know, you could build a roster around. I think that he was going for like an early second in drafts or in trade up value before him. So yeah, that's a good pick there. No, that's good. All right. I got one last guy. I got my quarterback.
Quarterback.
I'm drafting a guy that I've never drafted in fantasy in my entire time I've ever played. I've been playing fantasy. I was 16. So that's six. Holy shit. I'm aging myself. That's 16 years that I've been playing fantasy here. I am going to draft Tom Brady as my starting quarterback.
All right. All right.
I've never had him on a roster. I've never had him in 16 years. I never had this guy. And, you know, to me, with what he's been able to do, 29 and 30 the last two games, New Orleans is still an okay matchup. Carolina, and then he plays the Jets. And I think he'll stand to throw like five touchdowns against the Jets. They're still competing for a first seed. They want to get that first seed so they get that bye, especially in the NFC that's been there. That defense hasn't been great. We've seen some negative game scripts that I really like. So look for him to have to put up some points. And they put up 30 points the last – almost 30 points. Oh, yeah, 30 points against Buffalo. So they put up 30 points the last three games at least. And so just look for the scoring opportunities, what he's able to do, the weapons that he has. As long as my guy Lombardi Lenny doesn't steal some touchdowns away from him, I still think he can have it. He's had four touchdowns, two touchdowns the last two games. Give me him all day.
And you weren't exaggerating when you said like he can come out and throw four or five touchdowns against any of these teams, because if we look at his season so far, 6 times this season, he had 4 or 5 touchdowns. That is unbelievable. That's unreal. It's unreal. And the guy, we talk about Konami code quarterbacks, which if you're not sure what that is, it's just guys that have the dual threat rushing and passing ability. This guy, I mean, the 1 week he rushed for -1 yards, 1 week two. He actually had his most rushing yards this past game, 16, but he doesn't need it. When you throw four touchdowns on a given week, this guy goes off. I mean, we're looking at weeks of 37. He had 30 last week. He's had a game with 28. Unreal.
Yeah, no, he's been good. And, you know, when I'm looking at my roster here, once you fill it in, I'll feel better about this. I was
hesitating because I thought maybe
I like the touchdowns there upside. And I just like the matchups. And if you have Tom Brady going to the matchups, he was a very big, I tried to get him in our league that we were in together, but I couldn't get him because the guy that we had a trade deadline, unfortunately, but even before then, Jeremy was like, "Hey, I'm going to compete. I'm going to go towards it." And I know it. And I was like, "All right, well, are you sure?" I tried to pry him from his head and I couldn't get it.
You just name dropped him on here. Now he's going to feel offended.
He made the right move. So hey,
that's true. That's true. He's actually coming. Jeremy, you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's coming on the show tomorrow. Nice. I had LQ coming on. Can't come on anymore. I got Jeremy. He was like in the back pocket, pull him out. He's good to go for the live stream tomorrow. All with it. Upsides there with the touchdowns. When we talk about the GOAT, it's him. It is.
Yes. Never had him. So I'm excited.
Hey, this is your first time. This is good. This is
first time. I broke my chair.
All right. So I was juggling. I was juggling between two guys for this last one. And I'm going to be, man, I'm going to be spicy with this one too. I feel like some of these picks are kind of not super chalk, but.
Oh, I like it.
I'm picking Jalen Waddle. And Jalen Waddle has been awesome. And another guy that I like, for some reason, I don't know what it was. I think it was because he was hurt in his last season for Bama. I think something rubbed me the wrong way. Like, oh, is this guy going to have injuries in the NFL? He's just a big play guy. It's not the case. This guy's been great. He's been an absolute PPR monster. His last three games played, 20.6, 28.7, and 18 fantasy points. That's three games in a row. He was the wide receiver 3 during those three games. Last three games also, 9, 10, and 11 targets. One of those games, he went for 137 receiving yards. So what I thought he was, which was a high yardage guy, he is. But he also handles a ton of targets from Tua, and Tua is playing great. I know me and you have talked about Tua a couple times on this podcast, but Tua's completion percentage is very good. A lot of those completions are going to Jalen Waddle, and he plays the Jets, Saints, Titans. I like him, and I think it's a little hot takey. I had Nick Chubb on this list because I think that he's going to be leaned on with this Browns COVID team that's going on. But Jalen Waddle's my pick.
Hey, I like that you didn't go chalk. You know, I went a little bit more chalk than you. You went out on a limb a little bit. But no, he's the wide receiver one on that team, right? Like you just mentioned. And he's a dynasty. You know, he's pretty close to being probably the top five guy getting drafted in dynasty this next offseason. I think that he could get there. And especially with, like you said, his matchups are – he's got a fantastic matchup. New York Jets, I think that's a great matchup that you have to see. I think in terms of this, for you to see, like, hey, can he be good? You need a big one. For the Jets to see how he's done that. But what he's able to do the last 3 weeks before the bye week has been phenomenal. And what was happening was he was always getting the targets, like you mentioned. Buffalo, he had the targets, all those things, but he wasn't being as efficient. Now he's efficient. So now he's going 9-11, 9-10, 8-9. Like, that's something. So, no, I like that.
All right. I'm mixing something up. I don't need any explanation. Just give me one fill-in that can only be used if anybody here gets hurt. One fill-in. I'll give you that guy. It can be anybody in the league, but it's got to be in place if anybody gets hurt. Otherwise, if three people get hurt on our teams, it is what it is. But we need one.
Here's my question for you, Mr. Commissioner, since you're just fooling this shit out of your right here. So I have three. I only have three wide receivers. So I would need to take another wide receiver in case one of those guys gets hurt. Then
That's fair. Or that, yeah, that's true. Because I guess I can use Waddle as one of mine. And
yeah, okay.
All right. I know my guy. You're not gonna pick my guy, but you.
Right, you go first. Let me look.
You got me concerned with the George Kittle news, you mentioned him before. So I'm gonna go Rob Gronkowski, and if Kittle is injured, he slides in for Kittle. If one of my wide receivers is injured, Waddle slides up, and then Gronk is in my flex. Okay. If one of my running backs gets hurt, then I'm hurts. Then I'm shit out of luck.
Well, if Andrews gets hurt, I'm gonna be shit out of luck if Andrews.
So I'm being safe because you got me nervous here. So I'm being safe.
Oh well, this is. I'll take Debo then. I'm gonna take Debo.
All right, I like it.
Give me Debo. He was up there on that list between Diggs and Debo, so I'll take Debo in there.
All right, and that's only if somebody gets hurt. So if he goes off for 1,000 points, it doesn't matter. It's only if somebody gets hurt. That's it. So that's it. Right. So what we'll have to do is weeks 15, 16, 17, we will tally everything up, see who the winner is, and then we'll have some sort of bragging rights going on. It'll be some fun stuff. But good luck to all you guys that are in the fantasy playoffs. If you are not, if you are in a dynasty league, keep playing. You're playing for next year, the year after, keep playing. Redraft, you can still set your lineups. Some people are all uptight about waivers and those things. You can still set your lineups and watch football and be excited for it. I mean, you signed up and there's still a lot of football to go. So stay involved and keep looking at the streams and the content. And it's a long football season in general. We got a lot to go. Kevin, anything coming up you want to plug? Anything as we close the show out?
No, like he said, just keep fighting your leagues, pick up guys, especially in Dynasty, make sure you're active there. And as always, the Fantasy Points media group that we got going on here, but also the Fantasy Points Bowl Guide. We got the first bowl games coming out. Friday's the first day for those things. We're going to have 42 bowl game write-ups. Right now, I think we're at 11 we've gone, and we're going to go right before the game because there's a lot of opt-outs and stuff that happened. So go buy that. It's $25. It's cheap. It's easy. And you'll be helping out a good cause.
And they can go straight to the Fantasy Points website, right? Isn't it on the homepage?
Yeah, it's on the homepage. If you sign up right now, you can get a deal on the website. Plus that, you add it on, and it's actually a really good deal.
For sure. And a lot of people like myself, like I don't dive into that stuff until way later. So if you get something like that, you get a step ahead of probably your league mates and your friends that compete in dynasty leagues and fantasy football in general, just by checking that out. So go check that out on the website. It's probably on the homepage, and great stuff by some great people. For myself, back on the Fantasy Points Extra Point show on Sunday, and probably a bunch of random stuff in between. I actually got a show tomorrow with Jeremy and Dave Kluge will be on the show. That show is at 6 p.m. Central. We'll be live here again talking about some fact or fiction statements. So you can tune in for that. But thank you guys for listening, and good luck in your fantasy playoffs this weekend.